Well, let me invite you to turn in God's Word once again now to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. This is a monumental day as we are moving into chapter 6. We've been in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 for a little over 2 years, and we are now coming down the home stretch as we've been moving through this marvelous portion of God's Word. If you're using one of the Bibles in the seats in front of you, it is page 979, I believe. 979, Ephesians chapter 6. We also want to go ahead and dismiss the children in just a moment, and we do this at this usual point of the service. Kids roughly grades 3 and below, age 8 and below. We always say that they're more than welcome and encouraged to remain in here, and that is always the case, and particularly today as the passage is speaking directly to children with regard to obeying and honoring parents. So for any parents that would like your kids to stay in here, maybe they feel like they need a little extra encouragement, you're more than welcome. But that's the focus of things. But for those who are going to go, we have classes for them. They're more than welcome to do that as well. So for those of you who are going, feel free to be dismissed. And for those who are teaching you as well, God bless you all as you look to God's Word. I do want to mention, and I put this on the insert in your bulletin if you're inclined to take any notes. The insert is there for that purpose. But I did want to highlight a few resources that may be of benefit. This morning we're looking at verses 1 to 3 in chapter 6, which deal specifically with God's will for children in relationship to their parents. You'll notice verse 4 in chapter 6, which we'll be getting to as we move into the new year, is addressed specifically to fathers and certainly extends to mothers as well. But there's a primary responsibility with fathers with regard to raising their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so these matters of parenting are going to be prominent. And so I just wanted to highlight these three books that are listed there on your bulletin. One of them is here called Shepherding a Child's Heart. I'm partly doing this now, too, because you never know as a Christmas gift. These could be great ideas, you know. Shepherding a Child's Heart is an excellent, solid, biblically-based book with regard to the focal point of parenting, namely a child's heart. Not primarily behavior, but their heart, which is the motivating center of all behavior. And so this is an excellent book that has been around for many years by Ted Tripp. He's a pastor back in Pennsylvania. I would commend it to you. Another book that is likewise excellent that I have skimmed through, I haven't read it yet, but it's come highly recommended, is called Gospel-Powered Parenting. That is very much complementary to the same focuses that Ted Tripp addresses. This is by William P. Farley, and we are actually going to be addressing and using this book as a framework for an Equipping Hour class that we're going to be doing later next spring. And so we'll keep you posted about that, but this is the primary book that we'll be using, again, as I've skimmed it, and again, as it's come highly recommended, a very solid, biblically faithful, gospel-powered book regarding parenting. And then one last book, and these, by the way, are no means exclusive or exhaustive. There's a lot of excellent resources. This is a little volume. You see it's very small, but very, very helpful, called Family Worship by Donald Whitney. And just some very biblical and very practical thoughts on how you can be seeking the Lord together in your family, reading scripture, praying, singing, and cultivating that blessed discipline in the context of your family. This is a great resource that I would commend to you. By the way, Donald Whitney, who's the author of this book, he's the man who is coming and is doing a weekend seminar in mid-March. There's an insert in your bulletin about that. He's coming next spring to share in that. So I would commend this to you as well, just a very, very helpful resource. So wanted to give a little plug for each of those. Well, hopefully you're now at Ephesians 6, and as we like to do, I want to say a few words to the children who are among us, just to give focus to where I'm going with the sermon this morning and with the passage that we're looking at. And so kids, I want to in particular draw your attention to verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 6, to verse 1. And there we hear these words from God through Paul. Kids, listen up. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, usually at this point, as I'm speaking and as I usually draw your attention to one particular portion of what I'm going to be preaching about, I'll give some kind of an illustration to hopefully help you understand what it is that's being spoken of. Well, in this instance, the entire sermon is really geared toward all of you children. Now, by extension, for those of you who are adults, it applies to all of us as well, because we were at one time children, and in a sense, we still are children. But particularly those of you who are younger, little children, these truths are particularly significant for you to understand. And so I want to encourage you throughout the whole sermon to really try to listen and to follow the things that I'm going to be talking about as we're going to be looking at this verse and understanding what Paul is saying here, why he's saying it, and how it applies to our lives and how it applies to your life in particular. So I really want you to zero in. The entire sermon is a sermon geared especially for children and speaking to children. And of course, it ultimately applies to all of us. Well, with that being said, I want to go ahead and read the larger portion of the passage within which verse 1 is found. I actually want to go back to chapter 5 and begin at verse 15. I've done this a number of weeks because it helps set the context of these specific commands that Paul then gives as we find them in chapter 6. So what I'd like to do is read chapter 5, verses 15 to 21, and then I'm going to jump down to chapter 6, verse 1. And this again gives us a sense of the context. So look at chapter 5, verse 15. Paul says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Now, immediately following that statement, beginning in chapter 5, verse 22, till the end of the chapter, as those of you who have been here in previous weeks know, Paul addresses how these matters are to play out for husbands and wives in the context of their marriage. And so he has specific things to say to wives, and then he has specific things to say to husbands. Well, now, in chapter 6, verse 1, he begins to address children, and then he'll also address fathers. So we pick it up in chapter 6, verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Let me pray to ask the Lord's help as we move into these matters. Our great God and Father, you are the one who has made heaven and earth. Your word is so powerful, so practical, so relevant, so authoritative and sufficient. We ask that you would not only teach us now, but that you would enable us to see the greatness of your glory all the more, to hear your voice as revealed in your word, and to know more of your grace and truth in Jesus Christ, and so to be transformed in our daily lives. God, we pray that you would do your work among us in Jesus' name. Amen. In a couple of other places in the New Testament, we won't turn there now, but particularly in Romans chapter 1, and near the end of that chapter in verses 28 to 32, the Apostle Paul there speaks of a number of the characteristics of those who rebel against God, of those who suppress the truth in their unrighteousness and refuse to give God the glory that is due his name, and therefore those who are under God's wrath. And in this particular section near the end of chapter 1 in the book of Romans, Paul's listing all of these different characteristics of such ones. And one of the characteristics that is included is that they are disobedient to parents. That they are disobedient to parents. He echoes this same thought really in 2 Timothy chapter 3 as he likewise is identifying a number of characteristics that mark people in this evil age. And again, one of those characteristics is that they are disobedient to parents. Now, it's insightful that the Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul, would identify disobedience to parents as a key element of rebellion ultimately against God, and of that which characterizes the wickedness that we find in this world. And really, if you think about it, because of the central place of the family in God's design, and the central place of the family in the outworking of God's purposes, it is no exaggeration to say that how parents and children relate to one another, for better or for worse, impacts everything, everywhere in the world, all the time. It is massive. And in this particular section where we're at now in Ephesians, as I mentioned, as Paul has been addressing what's typically referred to as household codes, building upon all of the hope of the gospel and the riches of the blessings that God has given to those who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's everything he's been dealing with from chapter 1 onward. Now he's bringing to bear these matters in terms of how parents are to relate to their children and how children are to relate to their parents. And this, of course, flows from the husband-wife relationship that he's been speaking of towards the end of chapter 5. But the most critical need for every society, everywhere, all of the time, is not ultimately the right kind of economy and not ultimately the right kind of governmental policies, though those have their place, but it's ultimately the right kind of parenting from parents to children and the right kind of responses from children to their parents. And God's plan is that his gospel and his purposes advance often and centrally through rightly ordered homes. And every one of us, every single one of us is impacted by the kind of parents that we have had and that we may currently have. We're impacted by that. And we're also, if we have children, are impacting our children. And so there is great responsibility from parents to children, but there's also great responsibility from children to parents. And as we're going to be zeroing in on that particular aspect in verses 1 to 3 this morning, the central truth, the big idea is very clear and very evident. God commands children to submit to their parents. God commands children to submit to their parents. And this is how children are to walk worthy in the Lord. If they belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ, how they are to walk worthy. And this sense of walking worthy is sort of the focal point of everything that Paul's addressing in these last few chapters of the book of Ephesians, of how we are to live, how we are to walk, how we are to think and prioritize our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if indeed we belong to him. And so this is the context, and he's making it very, very clear that God commands children to submit to their parents. Now, God's instructions, as we see, about children submitting to their parents involves two clear points with everything that he says in verses 1 to 3, and this is our outline for this morning, and you can see it there very straightforward. Here's the points. Number one, submission to your parents is required. In other words, it's not optional. This is where Paul is establishing the responsibility of children to their parents, namely to submit. So it's required. And then second of all, submission to your parents brings blessing. And in these statements, Paul is not only establishing the requirement, but he's explaining the reasons for why we are to submit to our parents, why we are to be submissive to our parents. Now, again, verses 1 to 3 obviously focus very clearly on children and their relationship and their response to their parents. And then in verse 4, there is a brief but powerful and significant word to parents and to fathers in particular with regard to not provoking children to anger, but bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, we're going to be looking at that as we move into the new year. And actually, I should say, it's not going to be until February that we move into that passage because of some scheduling things with my own schedule and some other things that we have planned for the pulpit here throughout January. So it's going to be probably the beginning of February before we come to verse 4, but you see it there, and it's important to hold these truths in relationship, not only to understand the responsibilities of children to parents, but also parents to children, which ultimately helps shape and inform children and training them how they are to respond. So what I want to do this morning is to walk through verses 1 to 3 within these two very clear points that we see, to walk through the text, and then I want to consider some key questions of application as we think about these matters. And so that's where we're going to go this morning. So let's look at both of these points. First of all, submission to your parents is required. It is required. And again, this is where God, through Paul, is establishing the responsibility. Now, you'll notice this submission he speaks of in two different ways. There's two different aspects to this requirement for children to submit to their parents. It involves obedience and it involves honor. It involves obedience, it involves honor. The obedience part we see at the beginning of verse 1. It's very clear and straightforward. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, we're going to come to that second part of that statement, for this is right. We're going to come to that a little bit later when we talk about the reasons for this submission. But he's speaking of obedience. And then you see at the beginning of verse 2, he says, honor your father and mother. Now, these are very much related, but they're different aspects of what it means to submit to your parents. So let's talk about this first aspect. What does it mean to obey your parents? Well, this has to do with the action of obeying your parents. When he says children, the term that he uses there for children is referring to biological or legal offspring. And it's really a term that is not directly with reference to either the gender of the child or the age of the child. Now, because of what Paul goes on to say in verse 4 with regard to parents and dads in particular bringing their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, it would seem to indicate these are children who are still in a process of growing and maturing. And also, because of what he has said near the end of chapter 5 in verse 31 in the context of marriage about a man leaving his father and mother and cleaving to his wife and becoming one flesh, as that truth is connected with what he's now saying about children, it would seem to be suggesting that the children he has in mind are those children who have not yet left their parents' home and authority and not yet cleft or have been cleaving to a spouse. And so in that sense, we can most likely understand the sense of children as being those who are still in the home and still directly under the parents' authority. And the word is obey your parents. Now, it's interesting, the term that he uses for obey literally means to listen or to hear under. That's the meaning of the word itself, to listen or to hear under. And what it has to do with is the sense of paying attention to what your parents say and doing what they tell you to do, and not doing what they tell you not to do. In other words, we could say it literally means following orders and doing and responding to what your parents have told you to do. Now, when my children were young in our house, we had a little saying that sort of captured the essence of this that we, my wife and I, sought to encourage and nurture in our kids. And it was basically this, that obedience means doing what you're told quickly and with a cheerful attitude. And as we're going to see, that's bound up in the sense of obedience. It's doing what you're told, or not doing what you're told not to do, but doing it quickly and with a cheerful attitude. In other words, not delaying. and not challenging or not making excuses, but doing what you're told. And as we see from elsewhere in Scripture, and even in the book of Ephesians, this is the kind of obedience that God calls us to in following Him. That He gives us commands. They're wise commands. They're good commands. They're right commands. And He expects His children to do what we're told quickly and with a cheerful attitude, in all of the hope and in all of the riches and in all of the comfort that we have through Christ in what it means to be His children, and that we're to respond in that way to Him. But this is the sense of obedience that God is calling children to express to their parents. Now, you'll notice a very important little phrase that is added into this statement. He says, obey your parents, and then here's the phrase, in the Lord. In the Lord. Well, what does that mean? He's used that phrase or a form of that phrase as he's exhorted wives in chapter 5, verse 22, to be submissive to their husbands in the Lord. He's used it with respect to all who are to be submissive to one another in verse 21 of chapter 5, in the Lord. And even in chapter 6, if you look down a little bit later in verse 5 of chapter 6, as he's giving instruction to household slaves, household servants, he says, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. The point that he's making is that it's only in and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the Lord that he's referring to, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are enabled and that we are obligated to obey our parents, to do so as unto the Lord. And the point that Paul is making is that the basis, and children, this is so important, the basis of your obedience to your parents is not primarily about the worth of your parents, it's about the will of God. And to be obedient, because this is what the Lord calls us to, this is how God has designed things. And as we're going to see before we're done this morning, no child can ultimately rightly obey their parents apart from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but that's part of the significance of what Paul is saying with this statement. And so here's the action, obey your parents. This is part of the requirement. Now, one of the things that this means, children, and one of the things that this means, adults, is that one of the most fundamental things that a child needs to learn at the earliest stages of their life is that they are under authority. And that is true for every single one of us. To understand that we didn't create ourselves and that we were created by God and that we are under the authority ultimately of God. And God's design is such that He has entrusted aspects of that authority to parents, and it's the parents' responsibility to help their children understand that they are ultimately under the authority of God Himself and accountable to God Himself. And so you were created by God, and you exist under and are accountable to God and to His authority. And that's true whether you're one day old or whether you're 95 years old. We are all under the authority of God. And again, this is a primary truth that parents, in their raising their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, are to be helping their children understand that they are not free agents, as it were. Now, freedom is an interesting concept. And freedom is something that oftentimes we think, well, I don't want to be accountable to anybody. I want to be free. But you see, in the way that God has designed things, none of us are free. We're accountable to Him. Now, ultimately, our experience of the fullest joy, of the fullest freedom, of the fullest peace and fullness of life is found in trusting and knowing the Lord through faith in Christ. And that's ultimately where our fullest freedom, if you will, is found. But a lot of times, because of our sin and because of our rebellion, we think that we can be free from authority, but nothing is further from the truth. And so, kids, this is what God is saying through the Apostle Paul here, that He wants you, He wants me, He wants every human being to understand that we're under authority. And the starting place of that is in our home with our parents and beginning to learn that even when we're small. Well, he says not only are children to obey parents, but then at the beginning of verse 2, he gives the other aspect of this requirement that children are to honor your parents as well. Now, as obedience really deals with the action, honoring really deals with the attitude, the disposition. Now, the sense of honor here, and Paul is quoting from the Ten Commandments, and as we find it back in the book of Exodus in chapter 20 and verse 12, he's quoting from the first commandment in that Ten Commandments that God gives related to how people are to relate to one another. In other words, the first four commandments that he gives focus on how people are to relate to God, and then the next six commandments focus on how people are to relate to one another. And the first of those six commandments is this matter of children honoring their parents, honoring their father and their mother. And then there's a promise with that, that your days may be long in the land and that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, Paul is expanding on that as he speaks of both obedience and honor. And again, he's communicating not only the action of doing what you're told quickly and with a cheerful attitude, but an attitude, a disposition of honoring your parents and seeking to honor them in large part by being obedient to what they're asking you to do. Now, this sense of honor, it means to have a great respect for someone. It means to esteem them. It means to highly value them and treat them as of great worth and value. And because God is the one who ultimately establishes the parents that we have, and God is the one who ultimately establishes that as children we are to submit to our parents, our honor of our parents is an expression of our honor of God himself. And that's the important point to see. This is God who is giving these commandments. And so not only the action of obedience, but the attitude of honor is vitally, vitally important. Now notice with how Paul says this in verse 2, and again, as he is echoing what God has previously said all the way back in Exodus chapter 20, this is honor that's to be given both to mother and father, recognizing their parental role, recognizing their responsibility. In other words, the honor isn't just given to one of them, and it's an honor given because the Lord is the one who has established all of this. And as we find from some other passages in Scripture, this sense of honor is to continue throughout life as both parents and children grow older. Now, certainly when a child leaves the home and is beginning to move in that process, if they are going to get married and cleave to a spouse, or if they are becoming more independently dependent on the Lord themselves as an adult, the sense of obedience is not exactly the same as it is when they are in the home and directly under the authority of the parents. But the sense of honor, this disposition of respect and of esteem and of value, is indeed to carry on throughout life. In fact, it's interesting, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, and this is also echoed in Luke's Gospel, at one point Jesus rebukes religious hypocrites because they are not honoring their parents as they ought to be. Let me just read you what is said here in Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. Jesus answers these religious hypocrites. He says to them, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' And Jesus says, 'So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God.'" And what he's rebuking them for is because with religious pretense, with an appearance of being very religious and very spiritual, these people in reality are not rightfully caring for and providing for their parents in their old age. They're neglecting that. And as a result, they're disobeying God's commandment to honor their parents. And so Jesus is rebuking them and exposing their hypocrisy. And that truth, among others, helps us understand that this matter of honor is something that is to perpetuate throughout the entire life of both the child and the parent, to seek to honor them and to seek to care for them and to seek to esteem them. Now, that could be an entire sermon in itself in terms of the responsibility, the challenges, the opportunities, the difficulty of what all that means. But suffice to say that none of us are off the hook with that. We are all called, again, whether we're one day old or 95 years old, to seek to honor our parents. And particularly as our parents grow into older age and perhaps are unable to care for themselves, either physically, materially, financially, or otherwise, or usually a combination of all of that, we have a responsibility to care for them. We have a responsibility to seek to honor them in that way. Now, again, it can be difficult. It can be very difficult and perplexing at times, and yet that's what the Lord calls us to. And so as we see in the text, this matter of submitting to parents in God's will involves both obedience to them, which is particularly applicable when children are still in the home directly under the parents' authority, but it also involves this attitude of honor, this disposition of seeking to honor and esteem them as unto the Lord and because of God's design. Well, so that's the first major point, that this submission to parents is clearly required. But then Paul also speaks of the blessing that such submission brings. And so that's the second point that I want to highlight that we see in verses 1 to 3. Submission to your parents brings blessing. And with these statements, Paul is explaining why we ought to be motivated. Children, why you ought to be motivated to obey your parents in the Lord. And I want you to just notice, before we look at the details of these blessings that Paul speaks of, how good and how kind and how wise and gracious of God that he not only gives us his commandments, but he explains the reasons for those commandments. God is not a God who just sits in heaven and just says, the reason you're to do this is because I said you're supposed to do it. Now, obviously, we understand it at a very real level. That's right. And if all God did was say it, we ought to do it, and we're bound to do it, and he's worthy of our trust and worthy of our obedience. But in his grace and in his mercy and in his compassion and in his kindness, he explains to us why we ought to do what he tells us to do. And certainly in that, that is one aspect of what parents should seek to imitate in how we seek to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, to not just issue commandments and say that, child, you're to do this because I said to do it. Again, at one level, that's true. But to work with our child, to help them understand why these things are so. And this is what God does with us. So there's really two aspects of the blessing that Paul speaks of. As we saw, two aspects of the requirement, so there are two aspects of the blessing, of the reasons that Paul explains. Here's the first of those: obeying your parents is right. You should be motivated to obey your parents because it's the right thing to do. It's what God has designed. This is what Paul says at the end of verse 1. You see it there very clearly. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, in our day and in our culture, a clear sense of what is right and what is wrong is not a real popular thing. We'd like to think that we can kind of determine what's right and what's wrong for us. And what may be right and wrong for me is not what's right and wrong for you. We're all just kind of free to determine that. Well, when Paul uses that little statement, and God ultimately through Paul, he's making crystal clear the one reason that we are to obey our parents is because it's right. And it's right according to God's good design, who's the maker of all things. It's exactly the way things should be. And we understand this almost instinctively, that children are to obey their parents. Children are to obey their parents. But when Paul says it's right, it's ultimately he's implying it's right because God's the one who's prescribed this. It's fitting. It's proper. It's appropriate. It's what's pleasing to the Lord. It is right. Now, kids, think about this with me. What is the right answer to the math problem of 2 plus 2? What's the right answer? Excellent. Good job. You're growing in math. It's 4. Is 2 plus 2 ever 5? No. Is it ever 3? No. It is always 4. Why? Because that's the right answer. Should children obey their parents? Yes. Why? Because it's right. Because this is how God has designed things to happen. And this is a blessing when we go along with what God has said. It brings blessing to us. It brings a sense of peace in our conscience. And we can know that we're doing what the Lord would have us to do. And so one aspect of the blessing is that obeying your parents is right. But then the second aspect of the blessing that Paul goes on to speak of is not only is obedience to parents right, but he goes on to say, honoring your parents is rewarded. Honoring your parents, and then connected with that, of course, would be the obedience that flows out of honoring. It's rewarded. And this is what Paul is emphasizing in verses 2 and 3. So he says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. He's giving a promise of reward. He's giving a promise of blessing that comes when we obey our parents and when we do what we are called to do. Now, when Paul says this is the first commandment with a promise, what does he mean by identifying this as the first commandment? As I mentioned earlier, in the list of the Ten Commandments, which are found in Exodus chapter 20, this is actually the fifth commandment. There's four commandments that precede it. But I believe when Paul's referring to it as the first, he's speaking of it in one sense as the first of those commandments that relate specifically to how people are to relate to one another. And before he goes on to talk about thou shalt not murder and thou shalt not commit adultery, the first commandment that he gives related to how people are to relate to one another is that children are to honor their father and their mother. And I think there could also perhaps be a sense in which this is the first commandment that a child needs to learn. From their earliest days, understanding, even though they can't begin to comprehend it intellectually as their brain is still developing, but just by the character and conduct of their parents with them, even at an early age, they begin to understand that they're accountable to their parents. And in time come to understand that they are to indeed honor their parents and to obey their parents. And it's also the first commandment that has a very specific promise attached to it. It's the first commandment of these that God gives in Exodus 20 that has a very specific promise attached to it. And so in these senses, it is the first commandment. And it has this promise, and again, stressing how necessary for children to learn at a very early age that they're accountable, that they are under authority. Well, let's look at the promise itself. It has these two different statements that Paul makes in verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, again, Paul is quoting from Exodus chapter 20. And when he speaks, first of all, of this sense that it may go well with you, what he's saying is that obedience to your parents is good. It is good for you. That's interesting. In the Old Testament and in the Old Covenant that is revealed in the Old Testament in the nation of Israel, when a child was disobedient to their parents, you know what the consequence was? They were to be killed. Because God takes these matters very seriously. Now, we're not in the Old Covenant. We're not in the Old Testament. We live in the New Covenant. But it does nonetheless illustrate that obedience to parents is very, very important. And for the most part, as a general principle, when you seek to be obedient to your parents, things are going to go much better for you in your life than they would if you were not obedient. Now, part of the reason for this is because as God has created us ultimately under his authority, And then because of being under his authority, we likewise are under the authority of a number of different authority structures that God has designed. So the authority of children being under the authority of their parents, of a wife being under the authority of her husband, of employees being under the authority of their employer, of citizens being under the authority of their government. Think of it this way. If, as a child, you don't learn to submit to your parents as unto the Lord, and you think that you can rebel against authority and challenge authority and ignore authority, if that becomes a pattern of your life as you grow, it's going to not go very well for you in the workplace and with the government and on down the line. And so that's the sense of it going well with you. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to bypass every trial and bypass every problem and bypass every grief. But it does mean that if we have a disposition of submitting to our parents first and foremost as unto the Lord, that by and large we're going to experience greater peace, at least in our souls, as we move through life. And so that's part of the blessing. That's part of the reward, that there's blessing in that. Well, then he goes on to speak and say, not only will it go well with you, but he says, and that you may live long in the land. Now, in the context of the Old Testament, when God first gave these commandments to his people Israel in Exodus 20, and this is after he's led them out of bondage in Egypt and he's preparing them to move into the promised land, a defined geographical region of land that he was moving his people into, God there in the Old Covenant is making this promise specifically related to the promised land. But as Paul quotes this, and really when Paul quotes it, he more literally says that you may live long on the earth. And what he's suggesting is that generally, when there is a humble, honoring, obedient disposition of children to their parents, generally, you're going to live longer in this life than if you were disobedient, and all of the problems that come with disobedience. And so, again, we live in a fallen world, and because of sin, death is a reality of this in this world. But whatever time God has allotted for us on this earth, if we are trusting him and entrusting him, if we are obedient and honoring to our parents, generally, it will go better for us in this life than if we are disobedient, and all of the trouble and all the consequences that brings. And so with all of this, we see both the requirement that God has clearly given through Paul, that children are to be submissive to parents, but also the blessing that such submission brings in honoring and obeying parents, that there's great blessing that is bound up with that. Now, with understanding these truths as we see them in the passage, I want to just spend the last few minutes of our time together thinking about some questions of application. And no doubt, even as I've spoken of these things, there's questions that have come up in your mind. And so hopefully I'll be addressing those things. And if not, we can certainly talk afterwards. But let me ask one question for us to think about, and it is this. Given that this is what children are to do, how do children learn to submit to their parents with obedience and with honor in the Lord? How do children learn to do that? Well, I alluded to this earlier, but one reality is that children ultimately have to be saved. They have to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to genuinely obey from the heart and as to the Lord. I want you to look back to what Paul says a little bit earlier in Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And in this passage, Paul is describing the condition of every human being who is not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, every human being who is outside of faith in Jesus Christ. And listen to how he describes such ones. And for every one of us who's a Christian, this describes what we were before God brought us to faith in Christ. And so here's what Paul says, verses 1 to 3. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Now you notice what's at the heart of this being separated from God is that we were sons of disobedience. What that means is that it was our natural tendency to disobey God and to rebel against God and ultimately to rebel against all the different authority figures that he's put in our life. And when a child is born, as precious and as wonderful and as sweet and as seemingly innocent as they are nonetheless born with a sinful nature, with a tendency to rebel, with a tendency to think only about themselves and to be selfish and to be proud. We all have that tendency. And of course, as they grow and develop, that begins to be expressed all the more, which is why there's problems and challenges. And much of the goal of parenting, and we'll be getting into this as we move into verse 4 eventually, but much of the goal of parenting is helping your child to understand that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. That they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And so they have to be saved. And that's much of the goal of parenting. And even as a parent is faithful to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, it's ultimately with the goal of holding the gospel before them, helping them understand that they're a sinner in need of the Savior, that God might bring them to faith in Jesus Christ and that they could know forgiveness and they could know cleansing. Now, children, in particular, I want you to think about this. I don't know if this is true for you. It was certainly true for me. I know it's true for you, actually, because God says it here. But how do you know that you're a sinner? How do you know that you need a Savior? Well, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to obey. And kids, you don't need to raise your hand on this, but have you ever had the experience when your parent tells you to do something that you want to do the exact opposite of what they tell you? Has that ever happened to anybody else? They tell you to take out the trash, and your first thought is, I'm not taking out the trash. Or they tell you to clean your room, and you're, no, I'm not cleaning my room. I mean, your first tendency, your first response is to do exactly the opposite. Well, that is our sin nature. That is our disposition to rebel. And it's that disposition that helps us see and understand that we need a Savior. That we need the salvation that God provides through Christ. And so, in the fullest sense, for a child to learn to obey their parents in the way that God calls, they can't do it apart from being in the Lord, apart from knowing Christ. And again, as a parent, that's part of the responsibility and privilege of praying for the salvation of your children and holding the gospel before them and caring for them and loving them and working with them and teaching and all of those things with that ultimate goal. In other words, the goal of parenting is not simply behavior modification, it's new birth, it's regeneration, that they would come to know Christ through faith in him. And so that's a key element. And again, there's a lot of implications. We'll talk more about those things as we move into verse 4. But that's one key element. Well, another question to wrestle with, and this is something I'll only touch on, but what if you're old enough as a child? Maybe you're a young child, maybe you're a young adult, maybe you're an older adult, but you begin to realize and recognize that the parents that you have, or maybe the parents that you had, if you're older, they were disobedient parents themselves. In other words, perhaps they were not good parents. Maybe they were non-Christians, perhaps they did things or had you do things that you've come to learn you shouldn't really have done. Maybe they were unengaged. Maybe they were uninvolved in your life or indifferent. Maybe they were passive. Maybe they were unfair in different instances. Maybe they were unreasonable or unkind, harsh, mean, manipulative. We could go on down the list. And oftentimes there are deep and tragic and real hurts and griefs that people begin to realize occurred in their lives because of ways in which their own parents were disobedient and didn't do good by them as the Lord would have directed. And as we know all too tragically, oftentimes there is genuine abuse that occurs, be it emotional, mental, sexual, physical, whatever it may be. What do you do as a child if you've had parents that were disobedient, that were not good parents? Well, there's a number of things that could be said at this point. And let me just say this, if you're a young child and you believe there are things that your parents are doing perhaps that are not right and that are wrong and you're not very sure, let me just say to you, if that's true for you as a young child, it's right and it's appropriate for you to talk to a pastor like me about that. It's right, it's appropriate for you to talk to a policeman about that. Because parents are accountable to authority as well. And I know those can be difficult and delicate things, but if you think there are things happening that your parents ought not to be doing, it's right and appropriate to try to find help. And I might just say, by way of warning to any parents who are not being obedient to what the Lord would have you to do, God knows. And He wants you to repent, and He wants you to make those things right. And perhaps you need to talk to a pastor. Perhaps you need to talk to the police if you have broken the law in these things. The Lord knows, and the Lord desires cleansing, but these are serious issues. And we understand, as we see it spread on the news every single day, these problems are all too real and all too prevalent. But if you have experienced a disobedient parent, certainly none of us had perfect parents any more than we're not perfect, but if there are particular issues, those are difficult to work through, but God's grace is sufficient, and God's grace can even strengthen you to trust Christ in the midst of that, and even to the point of forgiving those who have hurt you. Again, I recognize I'm touching on very sensitive things and very delicate things for all of us, depending on things that we either have experienced or are experiencing. But look to Christ and find help through a pastor. And if there's things you're concerned about, even the police, that's part of why God has given them. And so don't be silent with that. Well, let me ask another question that's sort of related to that. What if your kids are already older? Let's say that you're a parent. What if your kids are perhaps already older? Or maybe they're still young, but they're already older. And as a parent, you realize that overall, you've just blown it. You just haven't been the kind of parent you know that the Lord wants you to be. And I will tell you, through having had our own kids and continuing to grow with our own kids, I don't think there's a single day that I ever feel adequate as a parent. And my own mistakes, my own sin, my own failure is all too prevalent. And many of us can resonate with that. But if you feel like you have blown it or you are blowing it, let me just say, where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. And that's the hope of the gospel. It doesn't mean there aren't difficult issues, but in Christ, the hope that God offers in Christ is that our sins can be fully forgiven, we can be fully reconciled to God, and while we may not be separated from consequences that have come from our sin, our conscience can be clean of all shame, all guilt, all remorse because of Christ, because of the absolute sufficiency of His forgiveness and of His grace and of His mercy. And Paul says that in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. And if you haven't been what you know God would have you to be as a parent, or perhaps you haven't been what you know God would have you to be as a child, and you haven't been obedient and submissive in the way that the Lord calls you to, repent before God and know His forgiveness and know His cleansing in and through Christ. It is sufficient, it is abundant, and it is what enables us to know that we are cleansed, to know that we are forgiven, and to know that we can now move forward in God's grace. We can learn from the past, we can benefit even from the things we've learned from our own sin and mistakes, but we don't have to live in the past with this cloud of guilt and shame, because God's forgiveness completely removes and restores that. And so wherever you may be as a child, wherever you may be as a parent, God's grace is sufficient in Christ. And His forgiveness is real, and His mercy is real, and His grace is real and abundant. Now, we'll be saying more about these things again as we move into verse 4 and consider the fullness of these commands that God gives to parents, to fathers in particular. But there's not a single one of us who at the end of the day can ever say, you know, today I perfectly obeyed God and I perfectly obeyed my parents and I perfectly did what I should have done as a parent if I am a parent. We never get to the end of any day and say we've done it all perfectly. But our hope, our confidence, our assurance, and our joy is that if we are in Christ, we get to the end of the day and we say, Christ perfectly fulfilled the law of God on my behalf. Christ perfectly suffered the wrath of God for my sin in my place so that I can be completely forgiven and know that God is no longer angry with me because he satisfied his anger. He satisfied his wrath upon Christ in my place. We can end our day. We can begin our day. We can go through every moment of every day with a sense of confidence in who Christ is and what God has done for us in Christ. And that is our hope. And beloved, just as we draw this to a close, that's what we ultimately rejoice in as we even think about this season of the year and the coming of Christ. Christ came to save, even as we sang about. And as Jesus himself said in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's in Christ and through Christ that we're delivered from the wrath of God, that we're delivered from eternal death, that we're given every blessing of forgiveness and life and hope and power in Christ to be and to do what God calls us to be and do. And so children and parents and every human being, the most fundamental issue is, where are you with Christ? And do you know this hope? And do you know this joy? And in that, are you seeking then to walk worthy and to live in what God has called you to? If you don't know Christ, coming to him is as simple as praying. It's as simple as saying, Lord, I need you. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve your wrath. I know that I deserve judgment. And I know that my only hope is in the salvation you've given in Christ and looking to him through faith. And doing that in your heart where you're at, even right now. Praise God that he is merciful. Praise God that he is our Savior. Praise God that he's the perfect Father who calls us and enables us to fulfill all that he calls us to. Let me lead us in prayer. We thank you for your word, O God. We trust that it will accomplish your purposes in each one of our lives, that we might know the full hope and the riches and the power and the great holy love that you have revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. May each one here know it in fullest measure, even as we would seek to live in light of all that you've given and called us to in Christ. We thank you and trust you to do your work in his mighty and glorious name. Amen.